Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines down. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, Kol Shehu Mishum Evel, Kegon, Tisha Ba'av, Ve'avel, Asur Ben Bechamim Ben Bitzonein. So anything that is a problem because of the mourning that is associated with it, the examples being Tisha B'Av and Avelut, so in those instances, the Issur Ruchitza includes both washing in hot water, as well as in cold water. Kol shehu mishum tanug, if the restriction is simply denying oneself pleasure, like, for instance, in a case of a tanit zibur, kegon tanit zibur, bechamim asur, bitzonein mutar, then the restriction only applies to hot water, not to cold water. So Rav from Bar Papa says that there is a difference between the issur rechitza associated with avilut, which is a complete Isur Rechitza, that's both hot and cold water, versus the Isur Rechitza that is associated with the Tanit Zibur, which is simply a denial of pleasure, and that only relates to hot water, not to cold water. So Amar Rav Yidi Bar Avin, Af Anan Nami Tanina, it's Meduyak in our Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah we just read before, it says, V'noalim et Amechatzaot. In our Mishnah it says that there's an Isur Rechitza. As a derivative of that Isur Rechitza, they close down the bathhouses. So his indication is that if they're closing down the bathhouses, that's because it's impermissible to wash in hot water. The Mechatzaot are the providers of the hot water. The fact that the Mishnah is specifying that they are closing down the Mechatzaot, that tells you that they're only restricting the hot water. Samarlei Abaye, what type of diuk is that? Vi bitzonein asur. Had it been that also cold water was asur, I mean, you couldn't bathe even in cold water, so harinet anarot mi bailei, what, you want the Mishnah to say that they plugged up the rivers? They stopped the rivers? So what, that's mi bailei the mitnei? That's what you want them to write? Of course they're not going to write that. What type of diuk is that out of the Mishnah? Because there's really no alternative. The alternative is to say that they stopped the rivers, and that's not a real alternative. So, of course, they said, no'alim et amechatzaot, and that might be independent of whether the restriction is just on hot water, or it's both on hot water and cold water. So, Amra b'sheisha b'reid Ravidi, Abba, my father, because the statement before was by Ravidi Baravin, so my father, Ravidi, hachi kashale, this is what he meant to be medayek out of the Mishnah. Michdi, tnan, our Mishnah says, asur b'rechita, that you're not allowed to bathe. No'alim et amechatzaot, lomali. It seems extraneous to say that they close down the bathhouses if you can't bathe. El olav shma mina, what is that coming to teach you? That the no'alim et amechatzaot qualifies the previous statement in the Mishnah of Isur Rechitza. What type of Isur Rechitza is there? The one that's associated with no'alim et amechatzaot. El olav shma mina bechamin asur bitzonein mutar. And from that you would conclude from our Mishnah that the only restriction with regards to a tanit zibur is with hot water, but not with regards to cold water. Cold water would be mutar. So Gemara says, Lema misayle. Let's find another Mishnah that seems to support this position of Rav from Bar Papa, which is, Kol chayavei tevilot, tovlim kedarkan, ben betisha ba'av, ben b'yom ha'kippurim. Someone is obligated to go to the mikveh and has a tevila that falls out on Tisha B'Av or Yom HaKippurim. We're talking about obviously, people that have to go to the mikveh, like a nida, yoledet, and they want to become tehorim, so they're allowed to go to the mikveh on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim. B'mai, what is the dispensation that we're allowing them here? Ilema b'chamin, if you're going to say they're allowed to go into the hot water, tzvila b'chamin mi'ika, since when can you go to the mikveh in hot water? So now, the girsa that we have in our Gemara is shu'uvin ninhu, they are mayim shu'uvin. Now, the Gra takes this out of the Girsa, but both Rashi and Tosafot explain the problem with the hot water is that that's drawn water. That's not Mei Mayan, that's not Mei Gishamim. By the fact that you've warmed it up, you have to use some sort of utensil to warm it up, and then by definition makes it into Mayim Shi'uvim. So it's impossible to heat the water and not have it be a problem of Mayim Shi'uvim. Tosafot over here goes as far as to say that even Hamshacha, which is one of the ways that you can get around the problem, Mayim Shu'uvim, if you pour it into a channel that then flows into the mikveh, that would eliminate the problem of Shu'uvim, that might not work over here. That with hot water, that is not a solution. And therefore, you cannot have a mikveh that has hot water in it because of this problem. You can't use Mayim Shu'uvim, and you can't use Hamshacha. So now you're stuck in a case where you can't have a mikveh that has hot water in it. Today, where we have the heated mikveh, the mayim that goes into there, we do put in through hamshacha, which is subject to the machloker, whether that helps. But despite that fact, we use it, and then we utilize nishika, which is we have a bore, we have a separate area in the mikveh that has the megashamim in it, and then we open up a hole between the area where the mayim or the megashamim is stored and the mikveh itself where the hot water is. And by joining them together, once you have a mikveh that's 40 sa'ah, it can be mitaher, or the mayim. It can now incorporate the mayim she'uvim, and that will make it so that the mikveh is kasher. So that's the way that we have heated mikvahot today. If people go into one that's warmed up or heated up, is because of that halachic principle of nishika, that we allow you to connect between a kosher mikveh and the mayim shuvim. So obviously that's not the case over here, where we're giving a dispensation for these women to go to the mikveh. Elav bitzonein, must be in cold water. If that's the case, v'chayveit vilot in, inish akrina lo. From this you see that it's only because they have an obligation to do tevilah that we permit it in the cold water. Had it not been for that, nobody would be allowed in the cold water. And that again will support Rafram Bar Papa, because here it's Tisha B'Av. And he's saying that the restriction is not only on hot water, but even on cold water. Amar Rav Chana Bar Katina, lo nitzrucha el lechamei teveria. No, you can't prove anything from that statement, because that Mishnah might be speaking about chamei teveria. There is an instance where you can create a mikveh or have a mikveh that is hot water. It's not hot water because you boiled it up, and therefore it's not a problem with mayim shuvim. It's when you're talking about the natural hot springs. Those natural hot springs, if you go into them, they can function as a mikveh, and they will be hot. So that's what the restriction is over here. Normally, that's restricted on Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim, but you have a dispensation to go in there for your tevilah. And that's the case. You have no proof from this Mishnah to Rafram Bar Papa's statement, where it says, Yihochi Eim HaSeifa. If that's the case, what are you going to do with the next line in the Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, Kedaihu Beit Elokeinu La Beit Alav Tevilah Pamachat B'Shana. That it's worthy, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is worthy of us skipping one Tevilah in the Mikveh one time a year. And that it's enough, you don't have to go to the Mikveh on that day. So where it says, V'yamar Pitzonein Mutar. If you say that generally going in the cold water is Mutar, you're Chatz Pitzonein. Then why can't he go in the cold water? So what do you see from that? You see from that that Tzonein is not Mutar. Had Tzonein been Mutar, then Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim would never have made such a statement that it's worth giving up the Tevilah in order to uphold the Avelut of Tisha B'Av. But if going to the Mikveh in cold water was totally permissible, then that would be the option. So it obviously is not the option. And that's why Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says better just to give up the Tevilah than to utilize this dispensation. And therefore, it's clear here that we're talking about Tzonein, and the dispensation is for Tzonein, and Rabbi Hanina Skana Kohanim says it's not worth using the dispensation because there's a velut of Tisha B'Av, and it's worthy of the Mikdash for us to give up that ability to get due to Vila. So again, that is a proof then again from Rafram Bar Papa that Tzonein would be problematic on Tisha B'Av. So Rav Papa, Ba'atra de lo shkiach Tzonein. No, you can't prove anything from here because this is a city that doesn't have cold water that's available, only hot water that's available. And therefore, that's the question at hand here. There is no cold water, so that's why Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim has the point of saying that it's not worthy of doing its tevilah and forgetting about the avelut of the Mikdash. And he's speaking about hot water. There is an ability to do it in cold water, that's just not a possibility in this city. Since it's not a possibility, we have to make a decision. Do you go in the hot water, or do you not go in the hot water in Tisha B'Av? The Tanakhama says, go ahead. You have a tevilah, you can go in the hot water. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says, worthwhile to postpone that trip to the mikveh, because it is Tisha B'Av. But again, according to Rav Papa's answer, we no longer have a proof to Rafram Bar Papa to say that, Tzonein, that cold water is restricted on Tisha B'Av. So Tashma, let's look at this. Kishe amru asur melacha, when they speak about the fact that one may not do work, lo amru elo beyom. That's only true during the daytime. Aval belayla mutar. At nighttime it is mutar. Again, we saw this in yesterday's daf with regards to the isur melacha only applying during the day, not applying at nighttime. Number two is kishe amru asur benilata sandal. When we say that there's a restriction against wearing shoes, then it's lo'amru ela beir. That's only true in the city. Aval bederech mutar. On the other hand, if a person is traveling, if a person is going intercity, in that case, he can wear shoes. Meaning that the restriction against wearing shoes is when you're local. But if you're taking a long trip, and it's impossible for you to travel in that way without the shoes, then it is permissible to wear shoes. So ha-ketzad, how does he perform this? How does he do this? Yotzei l'derech, if he's going to travel, Noel, he puts his shoes on. Nichnas l'ir, as soon as he enters into the city, choleitz, he removes his shoes. U'kshamru asur b'uchitza, lo emru elo kol gufo. And they say there's a restriction against bathing. That's only true of his whole body. Aval panav, yadav regalav mutar. When it comes to his face, his hands, and his feet, it is mutar to bathe. V'chein ata motzeh b'minudeh u'be'avel. That is true as well with someone who is excommunicated, as well as someone who is be'avelut, someone who is a mourner. So here you have a parallel being drawn between tanit zibur, minudeh, and avel. All three of them have the same din. My love, what would you conclude from here? Akulu, that last statement is made on all the items that we mentioned here, which means that they have an equation of equivalence that applies even by rechitza. The rechitza of an avel has the same din as the rechitza of a tanit zibur. Ubimai, what type of water are we speaking about here? Ilema bechamin, if we're talking about hot water, panav yadav raglav misharu, why would he be permitted to wash his face, his hands, and his feet? V'hamar of Sheshet, avel asur lo shit etzbo bechamin. Sheshet says that an avel cannot touch hot water whatsoever. Even to put his finger into the hot water is restricted. That's the case, then certainly he can't wash his face, his hands, and his feet. Elalav bitzonein. The only way that we can say an avel is permitted to bathe himself is in a case when he's using cold water. Well, if he's using cold water, now we just had a statement here that equates tanit zibur with avel. And tanit zibur, we just said here that the restriction is only with hot water, but not with cold water. Now, ba'avelut, you're facing the same thing here, which is the isur rechitza is kol gufo, but panav yadav raglav mutarim, and mutarim means that bitzonein it would be mutar. So if an avel is mutar bitzonein, that goes against Rafram Bar Papa of Chista that we saw above, that by the Avel or by Tisha B'Av, Chomim and Sonein have the same din. And by Tanit Zibur, we see again the same qualification in a sense, because by Tanit Zibur, we also said that the restriction was against hot water, but cold water is permissible. This qualifies that and says, even when we say that cold water is permissible, that's only true when we're not talking about his whole body. But if you're talking about his whole body, even cold water is restricted. It's panav yadav raglav that are mutarim in this instance. So now the Gemara is left with a problem now on that statement of Rafam Bar Papa before distinguishing between tanit zibur and avelut. So now the Gemara says, okay, no, the olam bechamin. We're talking about hot water now. So if we're talking about hot water, v'kashalach b'chein atam mutzeh benudah b'avel. So what about the fact that you're drawing an equation here between benudah and avel? If we're talking about hot water now, and that says that the restriction of hot water for a tanit zibur is only on his whole goof, but yadav panav raglav is mutar, then you're saying avel has the same din. That means that an avel would be mutar bitzonein, first of all, for sure, and even by chamin it would be mutar by panav yadav raglav, which certainly we know is not true. So what are you going to do with that? So that has to do with the other items that are enumerated here. The rechitza is not an equation of equivalence. It's just with the other items, the nilata sandal and the isur malacha, they have the same din. So that solves our problem over here, and therefore it's not a question on Rafram Bar Papa, and we can uphold that distinction that he drew, which is that Tisha B'Av or Avelut has a din of isur bechamin ubitzonein, and Tanit Zibur only has a restriction bechamin. Tashma, Damer Rabbi Yehuda. Tam Rabbi Abba HaKohen Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Maseh Umeitu Banav Shel Rabbi Yossi Ben Rabbi Chanina. It was an instance where he lost children. They passed away. Perchatz Bitzonein Kol Shiva. And he bathed himself for the entire 7 days in cold water, which we against. Again, Rafram Bar Papa says that an Avel does not have permission to bathe in cold water. Where it says, Hatam Kishitichafuhu Avelav Hava. It's a case when he had back-to-back Avelut. So he had one son that passed away, and then right after that, before he had a chance to finish the first Avelut, his second son passed away. The Tanya, we have a Braita, which we'll see in Moed Katan. Techafua Avilav Zechar Zeh If he has back-to-back avilut, hichbid se'aro, if his hair becomes heavy, meaning that it's too much, the growth of his hair, mekel bitar, he's allowed to lighten up with a razor. Umechabes kisuto, he's allowed to launder his clothing, b'mayim, with water. Samar of chista, bitar avalo mimisperaim, one is allowed to lighten his hair in a crude manner with a razor, but not with scissors. He can't get a proper haircut. He can just eliminate the hair that is disturbing him or making it impossible for him to function because he has back-to-back avilut. B'mayim, when we're talking about the kibus, that's only in water. You can launder your clothing in water. V'lo b'netter, v'lo b'chol. You can't use a detergent, natron, v'lo b'chol, and not in sand, which were used for the washing of clothing. Those you do not have permission to use, only water. So we allow you, because of the nature of the avilut here, where he has back-to-back avilut, so he needs something, he needs to be able to do something, we give him the dispensation of lightening his hair and washing, but only in a manner that is not the normal way to do it, and not the normal way to carry it out. We let you, for the practical sake, we let you wash your clothing so you can wear it, but not the way that you normally do it to make it extra clean. We allow you to lighten your hair or cut off the hair that is bothering you, but we don't allow you to cut it in a fashion that would give you a nice appearance or a nice haircut. So though that is an exception to the rule, and therefore he bathed in Sonein was not because of the fact that Avel is mutar bit Sonein, it was because of his circumstance which allowed him to bathe in Sonein. So that's a different case, and you can't prove anything from this case over here. And right now we're going to move on to Amar Rava. Rava is going to make a statement. We're going to have one version of Rava and then another version of Rava, which carries on a little bit in this sugya. Just to wrap up what we saw so far, Rav from Bar Papa says there's a distinction between Avilut Tisha Ba'av, which is obviously a form of Avilut, where bathing in Chamin and Sonein is restricted, versus Tanit Zibur, where the restriction is against pleasure, and there it's only by hot water that you're restricted, by cold water you are not restricted. So now Tosafot concludes from Rav from Bar Papa. It's a very interesting Tosafot. He says, today, where we don't have a Tanit Tzibur, b'Bavel el Tisha B'Av. There's no other fast day that has a qualification like a Tanit Tzibur in Bavel or in Chutz La'aretz except for Tisha B'Av. Therefore, mutarim afilu b'chamin. That would imply from our Gemara, you would conclude that there is no heter, there is no restriction against bathing, even with hot water. Because the restriction is only have to do with the Tanit Tzibur. If we're not having a Tanit Tzibur, then there shouldn't be any restriction. And therefore, mutarim, afilu b'chamin, afilu b'yudzayin b'tamuz v'tzom g'dalya. He says on the other fast days, like yudzayin b'tamuz and tzom g'dalya, you could bathe in hot water without any problem. He says, kach pasach rav yo. That's the way the rav yo paskins. Rav yoel, aviv, asar derchotz b'chamin. His father, rav yoel, said, okay, it might be that way, but don't do it in hot water. If you want to wash in cold water, that's fine, but in hot water, we wouldn't recommend it. Again, we've discussed this in the past, the fact that the Mishnah Berurah says that Mi'ikar Adin, these fast days really are associated with the Chamesha Tayinuim, and therefore we try to avoid doing any of those items. From the Ikar Adin, it would be mutar to bathe on these days and to wash or to take a shower on these days. So, Mi'ikar Adin, nobody can stop you, but someone who's machmir and does not bathe on those days, like the Ikar sense of the day, which is that it has a Chamesha Tayinuim, then that is tavo alav bracha, that a person should not try to avoid bathing in hot water or taking a shower on these days. I was saying, if it's absolutely necessary, then the person can do it, but they should try to minimize the amount of pleasure, because, again, it takes away from the nature of the day. I think generally, with things that are of a public nature, we don't make demonstration of it. We don't do those things like nilata sandal. Things that are of a more private nature, then where there's no problems of mechzik yura, and there's no problems of being poresh min hatzibur, over there we try to encourage people to keep those items, to keep those of the chameshit inuim. Again, the Mr. Burundam says it for those that are makpid and take on these types of chumrot in general, but he does recommend that people don't bathe on these days. As the Mishnah Berurah says in Taf Kuf Nun, Tebishash Ratzu V'Kiblu Alehem Latzum B'Chol Arba'at Taniyot Anir Le'el Lo Kiblu Alehem Shiu B'Chomer Tanit Tzibur K'Tisha B'Av L'Fi She'ein Rova Tzibur Yecholim La'amod Bav. People just couldn't handle that type of restriction. U'Bal Nefesh Yachmir B'Kulan. Someone who is Makpid Ala Mitzvot and wants to do the right thing should do all the Chamesha Dinuim. Kamo v'Tisha B'Av, just like you would have done on Tisha B'Av. Ella, there are some exceptions. She'im chalil tvila, yikayim onato. If it's the night where his wife goes to the mikveh, then he should be mikayim tashmisha mita, not use this as a reason not to be mikayim his obligation of onah. V'gam benilata sandal, lo yachmir. When it comes to wearing the shoes, he shouldn't be machmir. Mishum chuka v'tlula, because he's going to look like a fool. People are going to laugh at him. They're not going to understand what he's doing. So either it's going to mechzeg yuro, or it's going to be that people don't understand what he's doing. They're going to make fun of him that he's walking around without his shoes on. And in addition, he notes that if Aser B'Tevit falls out on Erev Shabbat, then there's no reason to be machmir b'rechitza, because you have to do rechitza for Kavod Shabbat, and that should override. All right. Now, the Gemara continues. Amar Rava. Avel mutar d'chotz b'tzonein kol shiva. Rava makes its definitive statement, which is against what we saw from Raphram Bar Papa and Rav Chista before, which is that with regards to an Avel, he can bathe in cold water all 7 days of his Avelut. Mita d'hava bisra v'chamra. Just like an Avel can eat meat and drink wine. What Rava is pointing out is that the Avel is not restricted in Tanug. He's allowed to get pleasure. Just like he's allowed to eat meat and drink wine, and we don't restrict him, even though they're Tanug. So then, Tanug henket Tzonein. Why should Tzonein be a problem? There is an Isur Rechitza on the Avel, but there's no Isur Tanug. So the Isur Rechitza will apply to the hot water. The Tzonein will be Mutar. That's Rava's logic over here. He says that I have proof to that by the fact that an Avel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. We'll see, I'll mention this later in the Gemara, because we're going to see another Shito or another Lishna in Rava, and over there we'll discuss what the idea of eating meat and drinking wine for the Avel is. Meitave, is that really true what Rava says? Ein habogeret rasha'a l'navel et atzma bimei evel aviha. A bogeret is a girl who is an adolescent already. She is of marriageable age. She is permitted. She is not permitted to make herself unsightly in the time of the mourning of her father. Now, Rashi brings two interpretations of what it means, the mourning of her father. It could be that her father is an Avel, and therefore she's required, because she's a Karov, and she's in front of him, to practice certain things of Avelut. So we're talking about the daughter taking on or acting like an Avel, or being an Avel herself because of her father's Avelut. Or the more simple reading, but Rashi brings this as well, which is that her father passed away, and she is an Avel for her father. And over here, she's not allowed to be an Avel herself. She's not allowed to make herself unsightly. Tosafot points out right away what it means is Ein Boger Rasha'a doesn't mean that it's impermissible. It means that she has permission not to do this, which is Omari, Taha Rasha'a Lav Dafko. The fact that she's permitted is Lav Dafko. Elachi Gemar, Ein Bogeret Chayevet. She's not obligated to practice these types of Avelut or practices of Avelut. So what we're saying here is a Bogeret has a dispensation or has a right to opt out of these items because she's of a marriageable age and she doesn't make herself unsightly. Ha, from this you would infer Ne'ara. Ne'ara is a girl who's already of age. She is obligated in the mitzvot, obligated in Avelut. If she's a ketana, then she's not obligated in Avelut. So here she's already of age where she is obligated in Avelut, but she's still a little too young to get married. So in that case, Risha, there she is permitted to be menavel herself. As Tosfot says, means she's obligated to be menavel herself. She has to practice the practices of Avelut. So my love, what are we speaking about here where the Bogeret doesn't have to? She can opt out and the Ra is obligated. Birachitza. We're talking about bathing. Ubamai. What type of bathing? Ilayim abechamin. If you're talking about hot water, ain't a Bogeret Risha. If you say that the Bogeret can opt out, that means that she can now bathe herself in hot water. Pamar of Chista, we just saw this in the previous Amud. Avel asur lo shites bo bechamin. Avel can't even put a finger into hot water, so certainly the dispensation for her not to become unsightly cannot include bathing in hot water. Hala b'tzonein. Must be that we're talking about cold water. If we're talking about cold water, now you see that ne'ara risha'a. Ne'ara is obligated to desist from bathing in cold water. Rava just said before that an Avel is permitted to bathe in cold water, and now we're saying that's not the case. I says, no. You mistook the understanding of this, Braita. It's speaking in a case of kichul pirkus. The beautification that we're speaking about here are things that are not necessarily problematic during Avelut, or things that generally we don't do. One is kichul, is the painting of the eyes, putting on some sort of eye makeup or eyeshadow. Upirkus is parting the hair, plaiting the hair, doing something nice with the hair. So that type of beautification, the bogeret is permitted to engage in, and she does not have to make herself unsightly, whereas the ne'ara is obligated to engage in. But of course, if we're talking about kichul and pirkus, then cold water no longer is an issue, because that's not what we're speaking about here, and this is not a proof against Rava. So they say this is support for Rava's position. Damar Rabbi Abba HaKohen, Mishum Rabbi Yosei HaKohen, Maseu Meitu Banav Shel Rabbi Yosei Bar Chanina, that his children passed away, V'rachatz B'tzonei Kol Shiva, and he bathed himself in cold water. Samrei Hotam B'shitukafuhu Avilav Zechar Zet. The same answer we gave in the previous Amud, which is that he had back-to-back Avilut, and that's why he had permission to bathe in cold water. That's his dispensation. But it may not be true in general. An avel in general may not be able to bathe in cold water. The Tanya, and we have a braita that tells us this information, Techavuo avelav, if he has back-to-back avelud zecherzeh, hichbid zaro mekel bitar. If his hair gets too heavy or unwieldy, he can take it off with a razor. Umechabez kitsuto b'mayim, and he can launder its clothing in water. Rav Chista qualifies this, bitar avalo b'misvarayim. When he lightens the hair, takes the hair off, he can do it with a razor and not with scissors. B'mayim, when he launders his clothing, b'mayim v'lo b'netter v'lo b'chol. He can do it in water, but not with any type of detergent. V'lo b'ohel. So now we added on another detergent over here, which is netter, chol, and oil. These are items that they used when they were laundering the clothing. So that's one statement of Rava. Rava over here makes a statement that an avel is mutar b'tzonein. We tried to bring one disproof to that, and we rejected it. And we tried to bring one proof to it, and again, we rejected it. Now we have an ikad amrei of what Rava said. Which is Amar Rava, avel asur b'tzonein kol shiva. It's just the opposite. He says an avel may not bathe all 7 days in cold water. This is the same as Rafam Bar Papa and Rav Chista, who said that an avel is restricted in bathing in cold water. So Mara then wants to know, Maishnam b'basar v'yayin. Before, Rava's proof to the fact that you were permitted to bathe in the cold water was the fact that an avel can partake in wine and meat. So now, how are you going to distinguish between partaking in wine and meat and taking a cold water bath? So Mara says, Hotam l'fechuche pachdehi hu da'avit. The reason that he is allowed to drink wine and eat the meat is in order to mitigate his feelings of worry, his feelings of fear, in that he's overwhelmed by the avelut, and this is a way to take down his anxiety about the avelut and about the loss of the relative. So we allow him to drink the wine and eat the meat in order to assuage his fears and the emotions that are boiling up. By bathing in sonein, that doesn't have that effect, and therefore it's not permissible. This goes back to the Gemara in Brachot, which says that originally they did drink wine during Avelut. We normally associate Avelut with the not drinking wine. Over here, the Gemara is clear that you can drink wine during Avelut and you can eat basar. The reason that we don't drink wine anymore during Avelut was that the Gemara saw what was happening, that people were using the wine as a vice to get rid of the pain of the Avelut, but they were taking it too far. They were drinking so much wine, they were becoming drunk. And then they lost the whole sense of Avelut. It's one thing to take down the level of anxiety. It's one thing to use it to placate the individual somewhat, but to totally then eliminate the avelut by becoming drunk, that was unacceptable, and therefore they stopped the whole process of drinking wine and having the brachot of the kosot of wine during the avelut. And that was suspended at a later time because of the problems that arose. But mi'ikar adin, yayin is mutar, and basar is mutar for navel. The reason that we don't eat basar v'yayin by Tisha B'Av partly has to do with Avelut, but it's not really because of Avelut, because an Avel is mutar in these items, but rather because of their association with the Mikdash, the Basar for the Korbanot, and the Yayin for the Nisuch HaYayin that were associated with the Mikdash, and therefore we don't partake in Basar v'Yayin as a Zecher LeMikdash. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect is Simcha, that's a time of diminished Simcha by Tisha B'Av and by the 9 days, and therefore we don't partake of Yayin and Basar because those are items that are associated with Simcha, and they would be inappropriate during that period of time. Amar says, Lema Misayile. In this statement of Rava, let us say that the statement that we brought before as a disproof to him now can be a proof, which is, Ha, from that you would infer, Nara Risha. that a Nara is not allowed to do whatever it is. B'mai, what is it she's not allowed to do? Ilema b'chamin, we're talking about hot water. In a boger rasha, how can you say that a boger can bathe in hot water? V'amar Rav Chista, avel asur, lo shitas bo b'chamin. Ela b'tzonein, talking about cold water, and you hear, see here, that it's not permissible, that a Nara is restricted from bathing in cold water. So that would support Rav's statement. Where it says, no, you can't bring a proof in that, because it's talking about kichul upirkus. So again, there's a way to get it out of this being a proof, because you can explain it in a different manner. And explaining it in a different manner, it's not a question on the previous statement of Rava, and it's not a proof to this statement of Rava. Now we have a separate statement, which is Amar Rav Chista Zotomeret. From this you would conclude, Avel asur b'tichboset kol shiva. Avel may not launder all 7 days. Now, what does it mean that Zotomeret? From this you conclude. Rashi says Zotomeret, midemuk minan la b'kichol pirkus. The fact that we set up the bright about kichol pirkus, which is that a bogeret is permitted in these items, but a nara is not. Hu adin l'tichboset. Laundering will be in the same category as kichol and pirkus. That's how Rashi explains Zotomeret. The Rav Chista is extrapolating the din by kichol and pirkus to also to laundry. You can see here that Rabbi Kiva Eger takes issue with Rashi's explanation for a number of reasons. He says, number one, I don't understand why Rav Chista has to be involved with this at all. Rav Chista is the one who believes that an avel is a sur b'tzonein, and therefore he doesn't need the ukimta of pirkus and kichol. He doesn't have to explain the braita in that way, because he can explain it with tzonein, and he would be perfectly understandable according to his opinion. So the ukimta of saying that that braita is talking about kichol and pirkus is according to someone who says that you are mutar b'tzonein, but Rav Chista is the one who says it's a sur b'tzonein. So that's number one. He's not forced to say kichol or pirkus, and therefore how can you prove anything from the braita? Because he doesn't even read the braita that way. Number two is, why do you need to make an extrapolation from kichol or pirkus? All you have to do is turn back to the previous amud, and the previous amud, it says, b'shetakvu aveilav. When he had back-to-back aveilut, then he was allowed to launder his clothing in cold water, implying that if he didn't have back-to-back aveilut, it certainly would be asur. So therefore, the Rabbi Kiva Eger says he doesn't understand what Rashi is saying by Zotomeret, but obviously he's going to have to explain the Zotomeret in a different manner. So Zotomeret could be that Rav Chista is concluding from everything that we saw. He's medayek either from the Tkifat Avilut that we saw before, the back-to-back Avilut. Maybe he's saying that Zotomeret. From there we learn that Tichboset is Asur for Kol Shiva, and that would make it more understandable over here. Now the Gemara says, V'hilchata, what is the halacha? Avel Asur L'chotz Kol Gufo. Avel may not bathe himself, the entirety of his body, ben bechamim, ben mitzonein. Doesn't matter, hot water, doesn't matter, cold water. Kol shiva, that applies to all 7 days. Aval, panav yadav revalav, bechamim asur, mitzonein mutar. When it comes to his hand, his face, and his feet, he may not bathe them in hot water, but he can wash them in cold water. So that is the conclusion, similar to what Rav from Rapapa said before, that when it comes to avilut, chamin and tzonein are completely restricted. We do have a dispensation, which is for panav yadav rugalav, and that's talking about a case of tzonein, where it's mutar. Otherwise, the remainder of his body may not be washed, even in cold water. Aval asuch, afilu koshu asur. But to anoint oneself with oil, even the smallest amount, that is completely asur. Ve'im la beret azuama mutar. If it's to remove the sweat that's on him, then it's mutar. So here you have the conclusion, which is that anything that is for tanug, anything that has to do with pleasure, for sure is asur with regards to the avel when it comes to bathing. That means both in hot water or cold gufo, he is restricted. The only thing we allow him to do is wash his hands, his face, and his feet, which are considered to be almost a necessity, so that he's just clean and presentable, and that it's a basic cleanliness that an individual engages in, and that's mutar, because that's not for tanug, that's not for pleasure, that's not a breach of his avilut, but rather simply a way to take care of his basic needs, his basic cleanliness, basic hygiene. And that's the same thing is true with the garbarets, the such, to put oil on, thereby the case of putting it on any amount is problematic, but again, la veritasuma, to remove the sweat, which is, again, basic hygiene, there it is permissible. So that's where it's permissible, is when you're talking about the basics of hygiene. Anything beyond that would be problematic. Now, the Gemara shifts over to a different issue altogether, which is that we've spoken about the fact that when one is fasting, they add in the tefillat anenu. The question is, where does that insertion take place when you add in anenu? The Gemara said, slota tanita heche Madgarinan, where do we mention it? So, Ad Bere Rav Yehuda, the Rabbi Yitzchak, Bere. So, Rav Yehuda led his son, Rav Yitzchak. The question of where he led him to, whether he led him to allow him to speak in public, or he's taking him to the Beit Midrash to learn, Vidarash, and it was Doresh. Yachid shekibel alav tanit, mitpalel shel tanit. A Yachid who accepts upon himself a fast day, davins a tfilat tanit, which is anenu. Vehechen omra, where does he insert it into his Shmon Esrei? Ben Goel lerofe. He puts it in as an extra bracha between Goel Yisrael and Rofe Chulei Amo Yisrael. It's an additional bracha in the Shmon Esrei. Matkif lo Rav Yitzchak, and some have here the Kirsa of Rav Yosef, v'chi yachid kova bracha de'atzmo. Since when can an individual add in another bracha to Shmon Esrei? He's not so important that he can just add in another bracha to Shmon Esrei. Elamar Rav Yitzchak b'shomea tfila. His addition of anenu is in shomea tfila. And as Tosfot explains, that's our practice today, is that we do not end the anenu with a bracha, but rather we insert it before ki ata shomea tfilat kol amcha, tfilat kol pei amcha Yisrael b'rachamim. And that we do, they insert it before it, and then the Shomea Tfilah becomes a conclusion both for the Baruch of Shema Kolenu, as well as Anenu. V'chein Amar Rav Sheshet, and Rav Sheshet also says the same thing, that it's added in Shomea Tfilah. Meitavei, is that really true? Ein ben yachid letzibur, there is no distinction between an individual and the public, el shezem mitpalel shmonesre, zem mitpalel chasre, except the fact that one of them davens 18, and one of them davens 19 brachot. So, my yachid or my tzibur? What's an individual and what is the public? Ilay me yachid mamash. If you're going to say to me that it means literally an individual, but tzibur is the shliach tzibur. Hani chasre, why is the shliach tzibur only davening in 19 brachot? Esrim ve'arba havu. There are 24 brachot, which we're going to learn about in the upcoming Mishnayot, that on a fast day they used to add in brachot to the Shmon Esrei for a total of 24 brachot in the Shmon Esrei. Elav hachi gamar. Isn't this what the Breita is saying, Ein ben yachid de kibel alav tanit yachid. There's no difference between an individual who accepted a fast of an individual, le yachid that accepted upon himself, shekibel alav tanit tzibur, that accepted upon himself a tanit tzibur, the more stringent type of fast. Ela shezem mitpalel shmon esre, vezem mitpalel chasre. That just one davens 18 brachot, one davens 19 brachot. Shmamina, from this we conclude, yachid kovei brachot le'atzmo. Then an individual can establish a bracha for himself. What the Gemara is assuming now is that the difference here is between the type of fast day that you have. If you have a fast day that is classified as a tanit tzibur, then you add in an extra bracha, even if you are a yachid. So if a yachid accepts the type of fast that qualifies as a tanit tzibur, that means not eating, drinking, plus chameshad inyanuim, plus 24-hour fast day, plus Isur Melacha during the day, so if Yachid accepts that type of fast, he can add in a bracha in Shmon Esrei. Whereas if he only accepts on himself a Tanit Yachid, which is just fasting during the day, no restrictions of the Chameshet Yunim, no Isur Melacha, then he can add it in Shomei Tefillah, he can add in a separate bracha. But you do see that an individual can add a bracha to his Shmon Esrei based on that. Where it says, lo, lo lo'im alecha shliach tzibur. We're talking about the shliach tzibur, but the kakash alecha shliach tzibur, esrim v'arba matzle. Well, didn't we have a problem before? Because the Shliach Tzibur has 24 brachot. So what are you talking about 18 and 19 for? It says, V'gimol taniyot rishonot. We're talking about the three fast days. Remember from yesterday's Mishnah, we have the original three fast days, which are a lighter form of fast. We have the second three fast days, which are taniyot tzibur, which were described in this Mishnah. And then you have subsequent to that, you have seven fast days, which are taniyot tzibur plus. That was mentioned in our Mishnah as well. So in the first three taniyot, where you don't have a 24-hour fast, you don't have the Chameshet Inyanim, you don't have the Isur Melacha, Gemara is suggesting over there that you also don't say the 24 brachot in Shmon Esrei. Gemara says, velo, is that really true? V'ha ein ben k'tani. We have a breita that tells us there's no difference. Ein ben gimel rishonot le'gimel emtziyot. There's no difference between the first three and the middle three. Ela shebe'elu mutarim b'asiyat melacha, ube'elu asurim b'asiyat melacha. The only difference between them is the asiyat melacha. You can't do work on the second three, and you can do work on the first three. Ha, the kaf dalid, zeveze shamim. The implications would be that for the 24 brachot, they would be identical. Gemara says, Tana v'shir. No, the Tana, it's not an exclusive or exhaustive list. There are other things that are left out. Gemara says, my shir, what did he leave out? Gemara says, the high shir, he left out the chav dalei brachot. But basically, that's a rhetorical question, because if that's the only thing that he left out, you can't prove that he left anything out. In order to prove that he left things out, you'd have to have more than one item that he left out. The fact that he left out the 24 brachot by itself, that is not sufficient. Right, we're going to skip the next couple of words, but tu v'hayim ein katani, we'll leave, because that's going to come up in the next part. Ella, tana bi'isure kamari b'tfila lo kamari. The Tana is dealing with things that are restricted. It's not talking about davening. Davening is a separate category. There is a difference. But with regards to restrictions, the only restriction difference is with regards to Isur Melacha. V'ba'yitema, some say, b'emtziata nami lo matzli chavdalet, that even in the middle three, in the second set of three, we don't daven the 24 brachot. The 24 brachot only deal with the latter seven taniyot. V'lo, is that really true? V'atanya, again, we have a braita, ein ben gimel shniyot, l'sheva achronot. There's no difference between the second three fasts and the latter seven fast days. That in the latter seven, they daven, they scream out, they blow the chatzutzrot, and they shut the stores down. With the exclusion of those items, it seems like they're completely equal. So what are you going to say again? That it's not an exhaustive list. He left things out of the list. It says ain bain, which sounds like it's an absolute statement. Vitisbra, ain bain davka, you're going to suggest really ain bain means literally that there is no difference between them. Vashir teva, there is a difference between the middle three fast days and the latter seven, which is whether you take the Arona Kodesh out into the street. In the latter seven, you take the Arona Kodesh out into the street. You don't do that for those middle three taniyot. So we did find another difference now. Now there are other things that he left out. He left out the teva, he left out the chavdala brachot. So there you could argue Tana Vishir, where it says, Imishum Teva Lav Shiurahu. When it comes to the Teva, that's not something to be left out. Mile did Sinok Tani. Things that are done in private, that the Mishnah or the Braita here is addressing. Mile de Beferhesia, things that are public issues, Lok Tani. He's not addressing those issues. The Teva is a public issue. It's about bringing it out into the street, or publicity issue, because they're bringing it out into the street. So Amar Avashi, Matnita Nami Deko. Our Mishnah is Miduyak like this. Diktani. Ma elu yiterot ala rishonot. What makes these different than the first three fast days? Ela shebe elu matri'in v'noalim et achanuyot. Then, in these case, you blow the chatzotzrot, you daven, and you scream out, and you close down the stores. So what's the difference between the latter seven and those three? Are these items? Aval b'chol divrayim zeveze shavim. But anything else, they're equal. V'chitei mahachanami tana v'shier, if you're going to say here again that he made a statement, but it's not dafko, and he left out other items. Va ma elu k'tani. This doesn't say ain ben, but it says ma elu. These. And it's giving you a definitive, or it seems to be an exhaustive list, of what the difference between them is. Just to note, our Mishnah does not have the girsa ma elu in it. It says rather elu. But over there you can see the Masoret HaShas brings down, based on our Gemara and Yushalmi, that the girsa in our Mishnah should be ma elu k'tani. Where it says, v'tisbara, does it really make sense? Ma elu dafko. You're going to say ma elu means that's the only distinction between them? V'ha'ashir la teva. He left out the Arona Kodesh. That's the difference between the latter seven and the middle three. Imishum teva lav shirahu, mishum deka choshiv la bi'idach pirka. Says, oh, the teva is not an issue because they take that up in the next parak. So in this parak, they deal with these distinctions. In the next parak, they deal with the teva. So he left out some things, you're right, but he's going to address them in the upcoming Mishnayot. The chavdal brachot, where he never addresses them, that is not left out. That's not an exception to the rule. There they are equal. And truthfully, the Gemara could have answered like it did before, which is that there's a difference between Befahesia and Sina. But over here, the Gemara uses this answer because now they can use that answer for the first time that we mentioned this before, which is, Hasha da'ati l'hochi. If that's the explanation, then now we can say, Asim v'arba nami lav shiurahu. The 24 brachot are not left out, diktani labidach birko, because that's also mentioned in the next parak. Since these items are mentioned in the next parak, the fact that the author of the Mishnah or the author of the Braito didn't mention them is not a left out. Where it says, my havi Allah, what's the din? So Amar Shmuel bar Sastratai, Chen Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi Amarav ben Goel Rofe. When do you insert Anenu? Is in a bracha b'fnei atzma between Goel Yisrael and Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael. V'ashi Amar Mishmei de Rabbi Yanai, Berei de Rabbi Yishmael, B'shomei Tfilah. That you do it in Shomei Tfilah, V'hilchoto, and the loch is that we do it in Shomei Tfilah. And that is true for the Yachid. That's for an individual who is davening. The individual adds in a Anenu inside of Shomei Tfilah. On the other hand, the Chazan, Ishleach Tzivor, when he does add in Aneinu, he adds it in as a separate bracha between Goel Yisrael and Rofei Chol Amo Yisrael, because we saw before that Ishleach Tzivor, the Tzivor has a different threshold and a different guy with regards to adding in brachot to Shmoneh Esrei, and therefore he is permitted to add in an extra bracha for Aneinu, but the Yachid subsumes it under Shomeya Tefillah. Now, as Rashi points out over here, the Gemara calls these 18 and 19 brachot, even though today our Shmoneh Esrei really incorporates 19 brachot. And that's, as Rashi points out, Lamal Shinim was a later addition to the Shmoneh Esrei, and that brought the number up to 19. But the core Shmoneh Esrei was made up of 18 brachot before they added in Lamal Shinim. So when the Braita is saying that it's 18 or 19, it's talking about before the addition of Lamal Shinim. 18 would have been the basic Shmoneh Esrei, 19 would be with the addition of Aneinu as a separate bracha. Obviously today, for us, that would be the equivalent of saying 19 brachot and 20 brachot. Okay, we're going to stop over here.